Happy Sunday, motherfuckers. This is Mondo Homunculero. I apologize for the side view and the poor front view here on this particular camera. I'm running two cameras. I'm getting used to all of this. Today, and I'm also wearing a face covering to highlight the fact that people need to be wearing their masks when they go out in public. I think 75 million people have been fully vaccinated. People have somehow are thinking that that's good enough, that they can just go out and go back to the socialization, quote, normality, unquote, that they previously experienced. Sorry, folks. Proof is in the pudding. Look up what's happening up in Michigan, for example. Cases are way up. Cases have been increasing here in Phoenix, and now you've got the British variant of the virus, which is more contagious, and they're saying it's more fatal. And so your 20 to 60 people, your 20-year-old to 60-year-old people are out just fucking around, thinking that they can do anything they goddamn well want to. Well, here's the problem, and this is where this country is really fucked up. First of all, this country has a fucked up view of freedom. They don't really know what that is because freedom is not a narcissistic exercise. It's not a selfish exercise. You live in a society with 300 and some odd 30 million, some odd million people in it. So we have to have a great deal of cooperation to make this thing workable. And we don't. We don't have it. People don't give a flying fuck. A lot of people don't. Now, there are a lot of people that do. I mean, you know, 75 million people or more are fully vaccinated now. So that's right now 75 million people who give a fuck. And then you look at the bullshit that spewed out of that orange piece of garbage's mouth about vaccines, about COVID-19, how contagious. Then you've got his punk-ass son who needs to be just, you know, I can't say what ought to be done to him because it's illegal for me to do that, so I'm not going to, but he is a despicable piece of shit, just like his dad, giving people misinformation, trying to get votes. So what happened with all that? What happened? Now you got like probably 20, 30 million people that are not going to get a vaccine because they believed his bullshit, whereas that son of a bitch, that dirty no-good son of a bitch has been vaccinated, fully vaccinated. He got the best medical care available in the country when he had the virus, and yet people believe his nonsense, and they believe this anti-vaxxer crap, and they have no knowledge. Yeah, I know, I'm pissed. It is a piss-off type of thing. Now, I'm not going to let you sons of bitches, I'm not going to let you endanger my health. Now, I've been vaccinated, both vaccines. Doesn't mean I can't catch it. Means I won't get severe disease. That's cool. But I'm not gonna go out in public without a mask on. Now, I did go to a family gathering where I didn't have a mask on. Didn't need to. Everybody there had been vaccinated, except for, I think, maybe my niece and nephew. Whatever. Now, I did feel a little sick after that. I got a weird sickness that hit me. It was a 24-hour deal. So I might have actually got COVID from one of them. You know, but at least it went away. Okay, see, this is what most people are thinking. Well, I'm not going to get that sick because I'm healthy. Actually, having a good degree of health is going to keep you from getting sick. Or very sick. It is. And there are a certain amount of the population that does have natural immunity to this. Isn't that great? I think this is great that that's happening. However, here's what's also happening. People don't give a fuck. People don't give a flying fuck about each other for the most part. Young people want to go out and have fun, go to the bars, travel all over the world. They want to do all these things because they don't have a perspective on the world and their lives like we do, like some of us older folks do. Now, there's a lot of us older folks, and I understand the criticism of my generation, the baby boomer generation, which the cutoff point was 1965. I understand how people get all perverted in their views of things. People actually listened to and believed Ronald Reagan. They actually listened to, I'm talking about adults at the time, listened to and believed that old crook, Richard Nixon. They believed these assholes. Now, Reagan is why our economy is fucked up and why there's so much inequality. He is the main purveyor of that economic disaster that we live in right now. And also, he kept running with the Red Scare. Oh, socialism. We can't have socialism. We already have socialism to a certain extent. And what most of us are talking about is we need government services for health, education, and the general welfare of the population. Oh, there's an agency for that. I see. People hate government. They don't trust government because they're told that government's bad and it's not to be trusted. Here's the problem. People have expectations of government and those who govern. They're unrealistic, inhuman expectations. These people are all human beings. They need good teamwork. They need cooperation within their agencies to make things work. They need to know what the problems are, but a lot of citizens don't give a fuck. They just want to criticize and get pissed and say that Democrats and Republicans are the same and blah, 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 that everybody's the same. No, they're not. A lot of people have similar issues they're concerned about. However, the results that they want might be different. For instance, there's a lot of Republicans that really think that there are inferior grades of people or races or social economic classes of people. They think they really are. And they think that those who are rich and powerful should govern. They should govern us. That's wrong. These people are fucking wrong. Now, if you want to be governed by a bunch of rich fuckers, you know, there's that other thing. You have these people that want a businessman to run the country. I don't. I don't want business people running this country. I want the people at large to run the country in cooperation with businesses. But let's face it, you want a democracy? Most businesses are not democratic. They're authoritarian. They're autocratic. They're either ruled by committees, or C-level people. They're ruled by everyone other than the employees. So you have an employer-employee relationship which mirrors master-slave. Then you've got the people that think everybody should be independent and have their own business. Go fucking piss up a rope. There's a lot of people that don't want their own business. There's a lot of people that have failed at having their own business. There's a lot of people that don't have the tools to run their own business. And then there's a lot of people who don't want their own business. They want to have a day job. They want to go someplace and work that they could be happy doing the work most of the time and get a paycheck for a fair wage every week or a good commission or whatever it is. That's what most people are like. Most people don't want to be in business. So I don't want people with a business attitude running our country. I don't. They don't do it well. They've proven it again and again. Okay, let's look at W. Bush. He was a businessman. He did a fucking really poor job of, quote, running, unquote, the country. Trump, really bad job, even though people really liked him because they liked the way he talked and the things that he said and his attitude, which was shit. The things that he said and the things that he did were fucking pure garbage. And everything he said was said so he could get votes and so he could stay in power. Right now, it's estimated he has $85 million that he's gotten from donors, mostly small donors. This is very troubling that Trump has any money politically. Very troubling. We can only hope that something legally happens to him. Probably won't, because the son of a bitch has enough money to pay fucking batteries of attorneys. And he's been doing it for years and years. What we need to do is to continue to deconstruct his misinformation. We need to continue to do that in a very simple, easy way. And we need to do what he did and keep repeating, these are lies and here is why. This is a lie. Here is why. This is what we have to do. You know, I've been reading certain people. There's this woman who's on Facebook who used to be kind of a bit part actor who's done all kinds of cool stuff. She's kind of a media person, and she's a very, very pretty woman. But she's tried to have an opinion on politics, and it's tainted by all the propaganda, and then she accuses everybody else of being tainted by propaganda. Well, all of us who pay any attention to what we read have a certain taint on us from the content of what we read and its propagandization. Yes, we do. I am not a propagandist. I look for facts. In other words, there was a tornado in home court, wherever. It destroyed 34 houses. The winds were up to X miles an hour. This many people were injured. This many people died. Yeah, that's it. That's the news. And okay, so FEMA is already there on site. They're doing rescue operations, salvage operations, whatever. You report the facts and leave the fucking opinion out of it. This is the problem with mainstream media, all of them. I don't care who they are, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS. I don't care who they are. You know, there's other ones too. OAN is another one. Now, geez, what a slag pile of misinformation that is. And also Newsmax. So now we've got all this media that is spewing opinions. It's not just reporting facts, because if we report facts on a wide variety of front, it cuts our news day down by probably about 80%. Yeah. So, and this is why a lot of people don't watch the news. They hate it. They see all this garbage and all this opinion, and they don't like it. And I don't blame them in that respect. There are some opinions that are quite a bit more well-informed and more poignant than others, however. I'm not here to tell you which ones I think they are. You have to pick those out. But let me tell you this. If you're attracted to right-wing media, you're attracted to the big lie. Beware of the big lie. That's what the right wing is. It's the big lie. It's telling you, we have your best interest at heart. Let us run the show. They've done a very poor job since Reagan. Anyway, that's my political rant for today. There's other topics I want to talk about. One of them is staying informed and neuroplasticity. I think a lot of people have been dumbed down by various things. They've gotten severely dumbed down by quite a few things. To tell you what those are, it's media, it's written content, you know, the keep it simple and stay stupid. Yeah, right? Yeah, it's a lot of things that people have been dumbed down. So they don't get the facts. They don't even care about the facts. Everybody's concerned, not everybody, but most people, I think, most working people are concerned with going to their job, doing their job, making their money, you know, having food and shelter and transportation, you know, basic needs. That's what most people are consumed with. And I don't blame them. That's what we have in front of us. A lot of people, I think, what is it, like 50% of us live paycheck to paycheck. I don't. I haven't for a long time, but I used to. I know what it's like. And it's not a free of anxiety situation for most. So what I'm recommending, and I am making a recommendation here, people study up, find out about neuroplasticity and do what's suggested to increase it. There's exercise you could do, mild, moderate exercise. I do that every day. It really helps my mental state. Find exercises to release your anxiety and your distress. Those are things we have to do. Eat right. Yeah, don't eat a bunch of foods that have too much energy in them. Like, you know, a lot of fats, a lot of fucking fats. Don't eat foods that have you know, the wrong kind of fat, basically. Don't eat a bunch of sugar and carbohydrates unless you're one of those people. I know people, they run on sugar. They are sugar junkies. They run on it. Okay, so, but they need to talk to their endocrinologist and their dietitian about those kinds of things. And that's right. That's why we have these medical professionals, because they can agree on things that we need to do, strategies. We need strategies to take care of ourselves. So that's some of it. Okay, other parts of it, we need to meditate. Okay, so you don't want to meditate. Okay, so you think prayer is the way. Okay, so pray meditatively. How do you do that? I used to, when I used to do prayer, and I don't do it anymore because I don't like it. One, two, it doesn't work because there's nothing out there. The only thing that's out there is the rest of us, which is good. I don't pray to the rest of us. So I stopped praying because for me, it doesn't work. And it doesn't work for most people. They think it does. And it actually places them in a meditative state that is very beneficial. I'm pretty itchy because there's a bunch of pollen flying around. There's also some stone wool particles that are flying around here making me itchy. At any rate, we need to settle down. We need to release our anxiety. We need to exercise. We need to read. Reading is very good for us. 6 to 10 minutes a day of reading is recommended. I do more than that. It's good for you. Playing video games is a good way to maintain and increase neuroplasticity. Some people like to do that. I used to play a lot of games. Don't anymore. Just don't enjoy it anymore. Attention span's pretty short on that level. But I can't. I mean, I have every fucking Oculus you can think of. I think I'll go get the 2 now. I'll see if I'll use it. At any rate, all of you, I'm glad you're here. Today we're streaming, so I'm not playing any music because I was warned by Apple. Now, I'm running Mac now. I've always run PC, and I've had a Mac for a while, and now I got a MacBook Pro because it fits my purpose and suits my purposes here in the studio for doing these podcasts and these vlogs, which is much better. I took back a ZV-1 Sony camera that's supposed to be a vlogging camera. It doesn't work on any of my equipment. So I took it back, got rid of it, got my money back. Best money back I ever got. So now I got 2 cameras that are excellent, that work with my MacBook Pro and will, of course, work on a PC if I want to use a PC. That makes me very, very happy. I'm going to kill the video portion here in a little bit and then go strictly back to my Roadcaster podcast and record another session where I can put the music on because I like having music in the background. I don't want to run into copyright infringement with Blowtube. You know, there's a lot of restrictions on that platform. So you have to, if you want to stay on the platform, we have to honor those restrictions. You know, don't put violent threats on there. Don't play copyrighted music on there. You know, a lot of things that we have to do. So that's cool. There's a lot of stuff in the news that needs covering. You know, a lot of people are pissed at the government because they don't seem to get anything done. Okay, well, I kind of go along with that. Here's the problem, though. The problem is not the government. The problem is who you elected. The problem is who you elected to administer your government, meaning Republicans and corporate Democrats. We need those moderates out. We need the reactionaries out. We need all those corporatists out. We need corporate money out. It needs to be gone. Small donors, well, we need to have a public platform for politicians and kick all of them off of the profit platforms. That's right. No speeches on fucking MSNBC, CNN, CBS, ABC, NBC, blah, blah, blah. No speeches, no political ads, nothing. Need to have a public video platform. We already have one. It's called C-SPAN. That's the only place where these people should talk. And they should all get equal time. And they should be focused on the issues and not this xenophobic, racist rhetoric that has seemed to dominate everything. And that'll help us with government. And we need to have civilian oversight. I understand you're too busy. You don't want to be involved. Well, it's a good thing for us retired people to do. Well, I'm not retired yet, but I will be. That's a good thing for us retired people to do. Us retired people need to get involved in civilian oversight. We need to pull in young people. We need to have massive civilian oversight over the administration of our government, and that's city, state, regional, and national. We need civilian oversight. That's how you're going to clean up government. That's how you're going to put people in office who are true public servants. That's how that's going to work. And until we do something like that, people are going to believe the Reagan lie. Big government. And then he won't believe Trump. I alone can fix everything. No, he alone fucked up a lot of stuff. A lot of things he fucked up. All in the name of getting the vote and getting you to send him money. Don't send him any money. Don't listen to him. He doesn't write well. He says he reads. I don't know. He doesn't absorb much of it, does he? Good morning. This is the Mondo Homunculero Podcast. Deep in the heart of Thanet Harrow Studios at Casa de Mondo Zaskia. It's Monday the 12th of April, 2021, Era Vulgaris. Glad you're here. If you're here. If you're not here, that's okay too. Some really nice music here. Shining Nine. Everyone, Everything, Everywhere. Ends. Yeah, full album. Yeah, nice. Really nice. Sounds like it was done with Propeller Head. Reason. This morning I'm going to rail on the 12-step programs again. For some odd reason in the last two decades, well, yeah, let's say the previous two decades to this one we're in now. I say let's go three decades. Let's go the 90s and the millennium. Okay. And then the 10 years, the first 10 years after the millennium. Those three decades. 12-step programs experienced a huge influx of people. And I'm going to center in on Narcotics Anonymous, because that's what I'm the most familiar with. And also on Alcoholics Anonymous, which I'm less familiar with. Both of these programs, both of these 12-step organizations, and they are organizations, they're loosely constructed organizations, secular organizations, which attempt to help people out of their problems with addiction. The problem with Narcotics Anonymous is that it still retains the cultism of Alcoholics Anonymous. The big problem with Alcoholics Anonymous is that it is a secular religious cult. Everything is designed to lead you towards God, and that God is the Christian God. Despite all the apologists and all the people that say, oh no, my higher power is not the Christian God, blah, blah, blah. Okay, they have all this terminology like higher power, power greater than yourself. You know, their steps construct this whole ideology and theology. It's actually a theology. It's a meta-theology in a very loose sense of the word meta. What happens is these people get perverted into a belief system that's just total bullshit. And their adherents credit the system with changing their lives. What a fucking joke that is. The system did not change their lives. Every person who adhered himself to the practice of that system, it's a very poor system in my opinion. Oh, I gotta hear this riff. Right there, I really like that. everyone made a choice to get involved in that. That's there. No one was directed there by some god outside of themselves. Maybe other people were influential in having others join up, so to speak. And then the indoctrination begins. The indoctrination is carried out in the meetings by the participants. And it's a very kind of a disturbing thing. I think it's time to get rid of this phone. I'm definitely not going to get an iPhone. An iPhone is a piece of shit. They're all pieces of shit. At any rate, the indoctrination takes place in the rooms. The rooms, so that means the meeting places where during the meetings. So you have two things going on in, let's talk about Narcotics Anonymous specifically now. You have the fellowship. You have this this mystical quantity, so to speak, this etheric quantity called the fellowship of the program. And then you have the program. The fellowship is at large, the local fellowship in which the participants take their participation. That's what they participate in. That's the fellowship. Now, in these meetings, there's a lot of ideas. There's a lot of slogans. You know, there's slogans like one day at a time. Don't take anything. Just for today. There's all kinds of slogans. Most of the slogans are made up and didn't come from the program. Now, the program is the literature. That's your basic text of Narcotics Anonymous, the 12-step guide and 12 traditions guide that they have also. I've forgotten the name of it. It's been a long time. I'm not really interested in their literature anymore because it's just polluted with garbage. And I could point out, point by point, line by line, how a lot of it is just total garbage. There's also a 12-step workbook that you can work through and work your steps with a sponsor and answer these questions and write about all these things. Let's face it, though, writing, the writing exercises are great. They really help. They help people quite a bit. And so I have to really, give that a kudo, because what happens during those writings is we reveal things about ourselves that maybe we had hidden for a long time, or maybe we just need to get out. And that's good. Problem is the context in which it's delivered. The ultimate aim is that there's some power greater than yourself or your addiction, or a God, a loving God, that's going to help you out of all of these problems you have because you admit them and you're willing to make the footwork, in other words, to do the action, change your behavior, maybe your beliefs. There's not much about changing beliefs. The belief change is all in the, believing that this power greater than yourself is going to fix you. And at that point, you're going to do the work and get better. And, there is a lot of common sense that's involved in this process, and it's very helpful, okay? Common sense and the peer support are the helpful parts of this. At any rate, a lot of what happens is these slogans that people have about their God and all this kind of stuff. I'm so glad I can't remember most of that crap anymore. The good one, if you want to stay abstinent, is no matter what happens, don't use. That's a good one if you want to stay abstinent. And what is that? That's a choice, isn't it? You see, the first step tells people that you're powerless over this disease, which is not a disease, called addiction. and that it made your life out of control, that your life became unmanageable and you have no power over it. Well, here's the big refutation of that right off the bat. Everybody that stops using drugs, in other words, in the program, they call it getting clean. I really like that because, you know, you do dirty yourself up with toxic chemicals when you're using a lot of drugs. I mean, there's no question about that. There's no question that the choices to consume toxic drugs are bad for you. There's no question about that. In as much as overeating on a daily basis isn't good for you, over-exercising, overspending, too much thrill-seeking, it just goes down the list. There's a lot of different behaviors that have deleterious, harmful effects. However, the big point that gets missed in all of this is that it's a decision to stop using. It's a decision. There isn't a God that comes in and does it for you. There isn't a group of people that do it for you. It's me. It's you. We make the decision to stop and to learn a new way, to practice, to live our lives without a addictive use of drugs. Now, by addiction, what do we mean here? Okay, well, what they mean is it's a disease, it's progressive, it's incurable, and it's fatal. What gets left out is the truth of the matter, or the fact of the matter, which is should be keyed upon more if it was going to be more effective, which is you make a decision to stop using. You make a decision to change your way of life. The individual does. I did. The many, many dozens of people that I know that have been abstinent for, gosh, over 20 years, 20, 30 years, 40 years. That's what they've done. That's what they do on a regular basis. A lot of these folks don't have a desire to use any drugs anymore. That's really cool if that's what your aim is. I think that's really cool. Complete abstinence is a fucking joke for a lot of us, though, okay? And in the basic text, it says that complete abstinence was the only thing that would ever work for us. That's not true. That's gonna be what most people want you to do in the program. That's going to be the consensus direction that you're going to want to take. However, there's a lot of people who don't do it that way. There's people in that fellowship that still use, whether it's pills that they get a prescription for, whether it's cannabis. There's people in there using cannabis and going to meetings. Okay, you know, I don't care what you do. I really don't. You can do whatever you want. There's people in there who have been what they call in and out, relapsing, coming back to the program, in and out. And people that do that, they're actually practicing harm reduction. See, there's another important point that gets missed all the time is harm reduction. Harm reduction is a big deal. Now, I practice harm reduction stopping smoking. I kept cutting down the number of cigarettes that I was smoking until finally I was smoking like maybe one cigarette a week. In short breaks, I would light it up, have a few puffs, and then it would really, there an aversion would come up. I would hate the taste of it, and I'd put it down, put it out. Until finally, one day I noticed that I hadn't smoked in several days, and that was the end. Great. So for some people, complete abstinence is the only way. That's the only way they're going to get out of this. However, a lot of folks have inherent mental disorders. They have, I don't know if they're really organic or if they're just broken loops. I don't really know. There's not enough neuroscience available on that to make any, you know, what I would call qualified observations. I will tell you this. I see a lot of people who are on a lot of psychotropics, who are on a lot of psych meds. And they don't seem to be enough. for a lot of people. Now, a lot of these people are not in a 12-step program. A lot of these people are coping with these disorders on their own. I, for one, when I came to the program, I came to believe, right? Yeah, I came to. I woke up, man. Oh, I've had a series of awakenings as a result of the fallacies of the 12-step program. I've had a series of awakenings. The revelations that I had, now just took a drink of coffee. Sorry about the pause. I don't like to do the pauses. Now I'm going to clear my throat, but I'm going to mute. There we go. That was good. I had a lot of awakenings about the whole thing, because I kept running into people who had been in the program who were no longer in the program, and there were a lot of them were still clean. They didn't have a desire to return to using any types of drugs. And I would include alcohol in that. Other people were drinking moderately, having a couple of beers or a glass of wine or a cocktail. Other people were using cannabis. And that was called marijuana maintenance, which it was sort of a downplay, but it was also a cynical retort, particularly by my old sponsor. Oh, yeah, marijuana, it's just another form of addiction. Now, I have seen people who believe they're addicts who use cannabis addictively. I have seen it. And I'm going to denounce that right now. I really don't see the value for me smoking cannabis or taking cannabis products all day long. No, I don't need medication all day long. Now, what I do to work with pain, okay, I use cannabis at night. Not every night, but almost every night, I use some cannabis so I can sleep. And it gives me great sleep. I love the sleep that I get out of cannabis. I don't believe that it's a good idea, though, to use cannabis the way you used heroin. To use cannabis the way you got drunk all the time. I think that's a really bad practice. And I'm seeing people who are on all these fucking psychotropics who are using cannabis compulsively. One of them told me he was cutting back. He didn't cut back. He went from one method of using it to another. So he substituted a different way. No, that's not it. So there's an inherent problem there, and I believe those problems can be fixed otherwise in a lot of cases. Not always. There's people that just need to be on their psych drugs or psych meds. And let's face it, the psych meds are really not that effective. Look at the amount of people on psych meds. Go and, if you want to, go and talk to people who are on a lot of psych meds. I know people who have totally gotten off of psych meds and use cannabis instead. Well, I think that's cool. However, if you're using cannabis constantly, I don't think that's cool. I think that now, the only thing we do consistently is eat, drink water, and get some exercise, and take care of our basic needs, like, shelter, for instance, and healthy relationships with other people. As far as taking a substance to be able to maintain, that's pretty... I personally have a issue with that. Personally, not you. I don't care what you do, as long as it doesn't interfere with me and what I'm doing and harm me. Otherwise, I really attempt on a regular basis not to involve myself in those things. And that's why I got out of the 12-step program. Because, you go to the second step after the first one. The second step is we came to believe, this is NA because everything has we in it. We came to believe, now listen, there's a collective consciousness that's going on with this we thing, okay, which is kind of cool in a way. I'll get to that in a minute. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Well, in one of the books, it says, well, we a power greater than our addiction. Okay, so I found that. I found that there was a power that was great within myself that helped me overcome my addiction. Now, because addiction is a series of practices and behaviors and habits that you can go in into and out of. This is where choice, where free will becomes involved and stays involved. And that goes out the door in the 12-step program because, you know, you're supposed to trust this power greater than yourself. You know, you come to understand it a little bit, and then you trust it. And then in the third step, you turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you understood Him. Well, right there, that raises an issue of patriarchy. That this God is a male type of God. And then people want to apologize for that and come up with all this outside reasoning. Well, you know, it really means daddy, or it means Yahweh, which is male and female, and it means, no, it doesn't. It says Him. And it goes back to Alcoholics Anonymous, which is Jesus Christ. If you read Appendix 2 in the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, it's all right there. It's all bullshit. It's a religious fucking cult. So there's no God. Especially there's no Him God other than the egregores that people have created. I've talked about egregores before. I'll talk about them again. There's all kinds of shit like that. I'm not into God. You know, it's just not. That was what, the main reason I got out of the program, because I liked the peer support. I thought that was pretty cool, even though most of it was wrong. No, the peer support was people giving you advice all the time instead of just listening to you and telling you they love you. And there was quite a few people that did that, and I think that's the value of it. So in those first three steps, we totally negate the value of the program on a logical, rational, healthy level. And it becomes and stays a cult. That's what it is. It's a cult. It's not a good thing. NA is telling me they've grown and grown and grown. Okay. I wonder if there's. I haven't looked at the meeting list in quite a while to see if there's more meetings than there used to be. I'm assuming there probably isn't because of the pandemic. And you know what I've also found is that most of the people who go to the meetings have got many, many years in the program or in the fellowship. And for them, it's a social gathering. And that's the value for them. It's a social gathering. They get to talk about their stuff, blah, blah, blah. They feel supported, loved, and all that kind of stuff. Nah, you're nothing wrong with that. I don't see a lot of new people. I don't see half the room full of new people. Why? Well, it also says in the 12 traditions that it's a program of attraction. Well, if there's not a lot of new people in the room in these meetings, now there are some meetings that are close to halfway houses and recovery programs. There's another term that I hate is recovery. Recovery would assume that you used to not be addicted. Okay, that's what it would assume on a more positive level. At any rate, unless you go to where there's a lot of halfway houses around there, the same area where the meetings are, there's not a lot of new people in the rooms. There's not a lot of new people coming in. Very small amount. The ones that come are more attracted to the cult mentality because it is a cult. If you go into the series of questions about what makes a cult, Narcotics Anonymous is a cult. Alcoholics Anonymous is a cult. Cocaine Anonymous is a cult. Methamphetamine Anonymous is a cult. Or crystal meth. It's called crystal meth. There's another ridiculous one. Is a cult. They're all cults. And okay, I guess if a cult is causing you to stop harming yourself, it has value. Okay. That's the value of it. And if the cult is giving you peer support to make you feel loved and respected and wanted, let's throw out respect, but loved and accepted, then, you know, that's a good thing. But when your head gets peppered with these slogans, which are very harmful, like your worst day clean is better than your best day using, there's a good one. Another pile of bullshit. There's so much bullshit. Work the steps or die, motherfucker. Well, that's not in your literature. Thank goodness, because it's just really inhumane. Very harmful. You know, if you go out and use, you're going to die. No, there's thousands of people who don't participate, who are not clean, who don't have to be clean, who can choose to use or not. You know, I have more of a problem with the way I eat than with drugs. You know, I cut back on drugs quite a bit. I don't take a lot of medications because here's the problem. I have a lot of arthritis. I have osteoarthritis from head to toe. I have stenosis in my back. My nerves are getting, you know, are getting pinched. You know, my feet are half numb. You know, parts of my toes and the soles of my feet are numb. I have psoriasis. I have some health problems, little nagging chronic health problems. And I don't take a lot of medications for them. I don't take a bunch of muscle relaxers, even though I have them. I don't take pain pills, even though I have some. They really don't help. They just kind of cut the severity of it once in a while. However, the cannabis helps me sleep. And I don't want to take Ambien. I don't want to take any barbiturates or sedatives other than get the sedative effects from cannabis indica. And it was prescribed for me. And so I'm a medical patient. And I don't overdo it. I don't smoke. I don't, you know, I don't get inebriated on cannabis all day long. On the weekend, I might start taking some cannabis in the morning. Usually not, though. I have things to do. I don't let drug use get in the way of my daily tasks. I don't let it do that. At any rate, I'm going to tell you, if you like the 12-step program, great. Then maybe you need to turn this off. I'm here to tell you it is a cult. Narcotics Anonymous is a cult. It's a cult that does help some people because of peer support. However, on a ideological level, on a health level, mental health level, it is harmful for a lot of people. That's why you don't see the rooms full of people, because they smell the rat in the room. And that's a mentality that pervades the room in a lot of individuals. Not everyone. There are people in the room that think the way I do and stay clean. Those are the kind of people that are still my friends from the fellowship. Other than that, though, I reject this incurable, fatal, progressive disease concept. It's wrong. It's a lie. It's very simply been unproven or never proven to have been correct. It's not true. It's a lie. The program is a lie in those respects. That's why the rooms aren't full. People smell that stuff. They see it. They, you know, there's people that come in the room who are looking for a solution. And they look there and they don't see one and they don't come back. Or they come for a while and then they see what's going on and they're like, no, this is just too toxic for me. That's why we have things like Smart Recovery, which I liked and I went to for a while after I was, you know, leaving the rooms. That's a great program. That's great because it uses cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, to have you deal with your problems and situations in life. There are other things that work. There's also the power of will, which says, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to change the way I do this. You can learn how to moderate. For instance, I was having a drink last night watching WrestleMania. Whew, boy, that was good. Of course, a couple of my favorite people got beat, and I was pretty sad. Asuka got beat. That made me really sad by Rhea Ripley, and who's a pretty good, but not on the level of Asuka. I think Asuka's just actually too small and not strong enough to deal with her. At any rate, I was having a drink, a vodka tonic, and it kind of nursed it through, just giving me the feeling I wanted. And then I had a second one, which was not as strong. Same thing. Didn't even finish it. Watched another program, part of a movie, and went to bed. There you go. That's pretty much the way I handle alcohol. There's a lot of days I don't drink any. Cannabis? Yeah, I puffed some cannabis. Not a lot, just enough to give me the sedative effect I was looking for. I slept like a baby. I woke up this morning at the usual time. I got up. I did my daily tasks. I went for my walk. I came back. I let the cats out. I did all the things that I do because I have a routine. I believe that everything can become like a routine. Like taking these drugs can be a routine. However, we need to modify the routine so that it behooves us, so that it's beneficial to us. If the routine doesn't have benefit, we need to change it. Continue on with our discussion of the problems with the 12-step program. In this case, specifically Narcotics Anonymous. It needs to go by the wayside because after repeated attempts by quite a few people in that fellowship to change things for the better, in other words, to get it away from the old school Alcoholics Anonymous philosophy that this is a God-centered program and taking all of that God nonsense out of it, which really most of it is just more Calvinism and more secular Christianity type junk. Whereas spirituality, in most definitions, was not spirituality, it was ethics and morality. And that was good, I thought. However, I don't like to call it spirituality. I really don't like that term. I don't think it's a useful term. And I think that this program, the fellowship and the program, drifted away from its best features. I mean, the good features, as I've explained before, were peer support. That's a good thing. And changing your life for the better, learning to live a life without it being drug-centered. Now, here's what's happened is a lot of the neuroscience experts who study addiction have found out over the last few years is that addiction's not a disease, it's a choice. And that a lot of these patterns, these substance abuse disorders, is what the DSM calls it now, the latest, greatest version, happen because of PTSD, traumatic-type experiences, unresolved emotional issues, family of origin issues, not so much anymore. That was a fad that kind of passed for a second. And what they found at the bottom of that, it looks like, was traumatic experiences. At any rate, the value of the program is very small. It helps some. Most people come in the room and they leave. They don't like it. They see the problem in there. They see that it's more or less a secular form of religion, of religiosity, and that it's a cult. So where do we go from here? We have examples like Smart Recovery. We also have Harm Reduction. We have more practical, rational approaches. Now, our good old buddy Stanton Peel and a couple of his comrades have come up with new ways of dealing with addiction. They have their own programs, and of course, they charge for it, of course. The problem with the free stuff, I guess, is that it becomes commandeered by whack jobs and gurus and, you know, cult figures. And that's a real problem. I mean, that is a big problem in all the fellowships I've seen. There's always some central figures that are just such brilliant motherfuckers. And they have this following. You know, I had a following. However, my following would wax and wane due to the fact that I didn't envision myself as a cult leader. I did have a lot of extreme views, according to some of the folks there. They were so cowardly that instead of coming up to me and taking issue with something, I would get up to a podium in a meeting and share, that they would go to my sponsor and complain to my sponsor. And I told my sponsor, I says, look, these guys have a beef with me. They can come up and talk to me personally. I think they was afraid. They were afraid to, because I'd have a fairly intimidating presence, so I think they were afraid to do that. Well, go ahead and, you know, keep being the cricket. The problem is that people have these very extreme, very almost unmovable viewpoints about all this stuff. And I explained all these slogans and how the slogans are actually very bad for people. I don't like slogans. I don't think that cliches are apropos when it comes to doing things effectively. Yeah, some of them have general principles that are okay, like living one day at a time. Probably something more effective than that is stay in the now. After all, we only have now. Yesterday is gone and tomorrow isn't here yet. Moving forward, we need a more rational approach to everything. And when we have lots of mainstream ideas that favor a rational approach and give folks a rational way in and out of these things. Now, Hari, I think his name was Johann Hari or whatever, he did some work on this and found that the big deal is when an addictive person knows that there's people who love and care about them, they have a big leg up on it. They have a huge opportunity to overcome their addiction. I think a lot of this boils down to terminology. In other words, getting rid of this idea that this is a disease, one. Two, that it's incurable, progressive, and fatal. Two. Three, that moderation is not an option. Okay, so you can have a whole faction of people who want to have complete abstinence. Well, we don't want to go against them. We don't want to say you can't do that, that it's not right. Of course it's right. However, the whole thing of it is if I've been listening to the audible book of Carl Hart's latest and greatest. It's a good book, and I'll plug it a little bit. And he's talking about how he's a sort of a regular heroin user. Well, that actually kind of set me aback. However, I remember talking to junkies way back in the old days, so to speak, 40, 50 years ago, telling me that, you know, that a lot of heroin addicts have jobs, have families, are able to maintain, that the problem is the lifestyle that they have to live to get their drugs. It does kind of build a case for it. Just think if heroin was affordable and regulated and, you know, and in countries where it is, I think the Netherlands has a program which is fairly successful. And I think in Scandinavia, they have programs that are fairly successful because they don't look at addicts as diseased people with incurable maladies. They look at it as when it becomes a problem, you fix it. If you have to be abstinent permanently, okay. If you have to have abstinence to start the ball rolling, okay. If you can learn moderation, okay. If you can reduce the harm of your use of drugs, okay. These are the practical approaches that we seem to be in the mainstream moving toward. However, we still have a lot of that old stigma about, you know, addiction and addicts. I don't look at myself as an addict anymore. I'm not an addict. I'm a person. I am a person who at one time had a problem, emotional problems, and I used drugs to try to fix those problems. And I have to maintain a consistent watch on that these days. not allow my problems to overwhelm me. That was in the recording of the music, or just switched automatically. I like this too. These days, I have to look at everything in a moderation, a management situation, mostly based on health. Now, if I drink too often, too much, it's bad for my organs, my internal organs. Let's face it, alcohol is a very toxic drug. Very toxic. So the less that we use it, probably the better. And yet you still see in the entertainment media the glorification of drinking alcohol. And these days, now it used to be 40, 50 years ago, you'd see people drinking whiskey and it would either be on the rocks or in a cocktail. Nowadays, people are drinking it neat. What the fuck is that all about? As though whiskey was this really tasty, very tasty substance. It's very tasty. It's not. Yeah, there are tastes to whiskey that people like and prefer. However, in media, this is all getting glorified more and more. Instead of people smoking weed, which is a lot less problem in your system. Also, there's not much out there in the media about edibles, people eating cannabis and having intoxicating experiences. Alcohol is looked at as just kind of like this social lubricant, this thing that people go to when they want to relax and wind down. In actuality, alcohol is very rough on the system, especially drinking straight whiskey without any water to dilute it. This is where entertainment media fucked us up. The other thing is, too, they have cut back. If you notice, there's not too much cigarette smoking anymore. There is still some. I watched the Mayans TV show, and the leader of the Mayans now is constantly smoking cigarettes, and some other guys are constantly smoking fucking foul cigarettes. Okay, so that's their deal. That's what they do. They smoke cigarettes. Okay, you know, around the world, a lot of people still smoke cigarettes. It used to be really popular in Europe. People used to smoke cigarettes in the middle of the meal. You know, they would smoke while they're eating. And the old Surgeon General, C. Everett Koop, called nicotine one of the most addictive, if not the most addictive substance known to mankind, even more than heroin. How do you like those tomatoes, Virginia? What I'm telling you, from my experience, is anything that dominates, and Carl Hart really goes into this well in this book that I'm listening to. When I allow a substance or practice or behavior to dominate my milieu to the point where I'm not taking care of my day-to-day functions, where I'm ignoring putting off my responsibilities, not taking care of my health concerns, when it's interfering with that, and they used to call, in the program, they call that unmanageability. However, the problem with that is like, well, the only solution to make your life manageable is the steps and God. And that's just very simply incorrect. I've known people came around the program, never worked a step, never had a sponsor, didn't pay much attention to the fellowship and the program and all those principles they talk about. They just got peer support and they stayed clean for decades. And then there's the ones, there's just a whole different frequency distribution. It looks like a kind of a genetic distribution of attitudes and practices and behaviors of people who attended the meetings and were part of the fellowship. And I don't care if they still go. I don't really care. I do see that most of these meetings are composed of older folks who've been around for quite a while, and there's not that many new younger people. And hopefully that'll spell the demise of this whole thing, because in actuality, the efficacy of it is so low, it's not worth our while. So we want to look for behaviors and practices that increase the efficacy. We know that probably more people stop using addictively on their own without any help. We've seen cigarettes, what is it? Over 30 million people stop smoking, stop taking nicotine substances. Over 30 million with no help. What does that tell you? So let's say we had 30 million addicts in the country. That means it might have the great possibility or plausibility that they could all stop on their own. And in fact, many folks who've had drug problems, alcohol problems, have stopped on their own. They usually replace it with something else, or they learn how to moderate. There are those people, however, who will probably never learn to moderate. They don't want to moderate. They just want to go, go, go. One book that I read said that the most important thing is to make a decision to change this, to get rid of these behaviors. I think that's a great way to go. I think replacing it with better practices which give better results and outcomes. That's the way to approach it. And that's what a lot of people who overcome addiction do. And so to me, it's not about recovery. It's about overcoming the addiction. And so think about the positivity in that statement versus recovering from a progressive, incurable, and fatal disease. Remember, it says incurable and fatal, which means if you go back to using, there could be dire consequences. Well, that in fact is correct. However, it doesn't bring up the fact that all of this lies in choice, free choice. We have the free choice to keep going or to stop or to moderate or to reduce the harm. That's the end of my diatribe on this. Next, I want to move on to a subject of germophobia. Now, I don't know how it is, but I seem to have collected some individuals around me who are germophobes. For instance, I've got to kick fuckers out of my studio if they keep bringing in open containers. There's all kinds of spills all over the floor of my studio from people with their fucking open containers. That's not going to be allowed in my studio anymore. If you want to drink out of an open container, you'll go into the next room, take a break, and have a big drink. From now on, they're going to have closed containers. They can bring their own if they don't want to use mine. For some odd reason, they think my stuff's dirty. Well, it's not dirty. It gets sterilized in my fucking dishwasher, and it's washed before it goes in there. So it's sterilized until you put your hands on it, okay? And germophobia is a definite problem. A lot of people are germophobes, and I really don't have any use for that. And I don't want to be around it anymore. I had a supposed girlfriend who was such a fucking germaphobe, yet she was always coming down with something and she was running around with the most scurvy fucking individuals. You know what? This germophobia thing is just more of a paranoid reaction. And I have no patience for it, nor tolerance for it. And I'm not going to allow it in my presence any longer. It is a malady. Okay, so it's the fear of germs, this or whatever. That's really funny that some of these people are anti-vaxxers. They won't even get a vaccine. Some of these people think because they've had allergic reactions to other vaccines that an MRA vaccine is the same, and it's not. It's not. In fact, if you look at what just happened recently with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and another one that are your old adenovirus type vaccines, which use a killed virus to create the immunity. Those are the ones where people have the adverse reactions, not with the mRNA vaccines. Yeah, there have been a very minute proportion of people who had an adverse reaction. But when you compare apples to oranges, it's invalid. It's not an equitable comparison. It's a false equivalence. And these are the same people that are germophobes. Because, you know, they've got to have their freedom. They got to be free to get infected and spread the fucking virus. So there's also bacillophobia, bacteriophobia, Mysophobia, verminophobia. Now, I like that one. You know, there's vermin all over. You have little mites that are crawling in your eyelashes. You have little vermin that are crawling all over your body that you're not going to get rid of. You have those mites that live in your bedding. Right? You have bacteria that live all over your skin. You're not going to get rid of it. A lot of it is ecologically sound. A lot of it is an ecosystem. And when our immune systems get weakened, then some of the pathogens that are there as well get on us and fuck us up, make us sick. Now, here's what germaphobes do. They have an intense terror or fear of germs. They have anxiety, worries, or nervousness related to exposure to germs. They have thoughts of germ exposure resulting in illnesses and other negative consequences. There we go. There we go. There's that psychosomatic bullshit. Thoughts of being overcome with fear in situation when germs are present. Try to distract yourself from thoughts about germs or situations that involve germs. Feeling powerless to control a fear of germs that you recognize as unreasonable or extreme. Whew, does this sound like a mental disorder? The behavioral symptoms, avoiding or leaving situations perceived to result in germ exposure. Spending an excessive amount of time thinking about, preparing for, or putting off situations that might involve germs. Seeking help to cope with the fear of situations that cause fear. Difficulty functioning at home, work, or school because of fear of germs, for example, the need to excessively wash your hands, that may limit your productivity in situations where you perceive there to be many germs. Well, there are many germs everywhere. However, new data on COVID, for instance, says that if you wash your hands a lot, that's a good thing to do, that it works very well. If you wear a mask when you're in public in an enclosed space and you wash your hands a lot and you don't, you know, touch too many things like people, then you'll be okay. I know this is really tough for you fuckers that want to lay all over each other in the bar and drink alcohol and knock the shit out of your system anyway. Yeah, go ahead, motherfuckers, but guess who isn't going to be there? Me. Here's some other anxiety disorders that germophobia looks like it's similar to. Rapid heartbeat. And here's some other symptoms. Rapid heartbeat, sweating or chill, shortness of breath, chest tightness or pain, lightheadedness, tingling, shaking or tremors, muscle tension, restlessness, nausea or vomiting, headache, difficulty relaxing. Okay, so a lot of us who are regular medical users of cannabis would say, well, look, some cannabis will probably help, particularly indica or a hybrid. Children who have a fear of germs can also experience the symptoms listed above, depending on their age. They may experience additional symptoms such as tantrums, crying or screaming, clinging to or refusing to leave parents, difficulty sleeping, nervous movements, self-esteem issues. Sometimes a fear of germs can lead to an obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD. And that's what I see a lot of. And I just don't want germophobia around me, particularly from people who are doing very unhealthy behaviors as well. It just seems that that goes together with it in most of the cases I've observed. Now, I know that's not a general trend, nor am I going to portray it as such. However, then almost every germophobic case that I've observed, with the exception of a couple, there has been a general dragging along of other unhealthy behaviors and thinking. So fuck that. You know, if you're a germaphobe and I identify it, I'm going to keep you not at arm's distance. I'm going to keep you about 50 to 100 meters away from me. I don't really want to be around that. I don't see germophobia as valuable. It's not. I think that healthy sanitary practices definitely needed. And particularly with what we've learned, here's a big one. Well, have you noticed that you're trying to downplay COVID, right? Have you noticed that there's no flu since COVID? Well, that's not true. There has been flu. However, have you noticed that the wearing of masks by a lot of vulnerable millions of people may have had a factor, may have had an influence on reducing the number of cases of influenza? Then there's the downplay, which says that, oh, this virus didn't get that many people sick. That many people didn't really die from it. Oh, really? Now, I've already talked about that. Really? That's been widely debunked. And you motherfuckers that cling to that, you know what? You're shit. When I had one talk to me yesterday. This guy's a fucking PA in a fucking pain clinic telling me that, oh, well, when it all pans out, you'll see that this virus wasn't very serious and that it's more like the con. He's so full of shit. It's a wonder that his eyes aren't brown. That type of thinking and opinion is dangerous, particularly in a medical health clinic setting. I probably should report him. This guy also has views on politics, religion, and philosophy that are horribly skewed and devoid of any objectivity. Not that I am objective. However, this guy makes me look like the master of objectivity. So he was ranting yesterday about all this COVID downplay shit that he has gotten party to. And I quit asking him where he gets his information, because when I ask him, he doesn't come up with an answer. He's just fomenting this on his own from his own biased experiences. Biased experiences, while they may have facts embedded in them, are not factual. They are biased experiences. They are not the real deal or close to the real deal. Now, I still tell you that reality is a fairly arbitrary experience, and that we use our realities as an opportunity to practice our evolutionary advantage, which is to reproduce. And those of us who are too smart for our own good don't reproduce, and so we fail, evolutionary speaking. We fail in an evolutionary sense. That's what Don Hoffman says, and he's tested it mathematically, and I don't disagree with it. Just look at the lemmings that just continue to reproduce. You know, so I'm watching this TV program that's on Sunday. It's a news program. I'm not going to name it, but the moderator of the program, the host of the program, is pregnant. She has no credibility with me because she's pregnant. Okay, so she's practicing her evolutionary duty, her advantage. She's reproducing. Okay. But how are you an example to anyone else of safe practice? Bringing children into this world, which is basically, from the human sense, on its way out. Okay, so reproduction can be an advantage to perpetuate the species, so to speak. Ah, oh, fuck that. Fuck all that. I'm so done with people. This is the point where the misanthrope in me once again takes over, and the humanist kind of takes a back seat. There's a lot of days where at the end of the day, my overall opinion is people are no fucking good. Because overall, what have we done to enhance the planet for all life on Earth? Not much. In fact, we're destroying it. Now, you can disagree with that all you want, and you can buy into the capitalist bullshit of, well, look at all the great things that we've done to advance ourselves. 60% of species are now extinct in the last 100 years, probably even less than that, because of our lifestyle and our obsession with industrialization and technology. How is that good? How is that good? I don't see any of that as good. It's just not. It's not good. I know it's a very dim view. Now, despite that, I'm going to make this a very productive day, and I'm going to have an attitude of a gratitude, and I'm going to make this into an excellent experience, and I'm going to feel happy. I'm going to have fun talking with people, which is what I do for a living, and hopefully provide them with advantageous solutions to what they are trying to accomplish in contacting. Ending this up, I wish you well. I hope that maybe we've generated a little awareness in some of you. Rather than adopting my anti-human. Yeah. Yeah. Make this a great day. Adios from Panatero Studios at Casa de Mondo Zaskia. Io Chaos!